All righty. Thank you, Mark and Miriam. And Mark, I'm doing a devotional message tonight. We'll be out of here at 7:15 because I know the choir needs to come in here and practice. So turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 38. And we're going to look at the emotions of Christmas. I've talked to some people that said that their children got excited right after Halloween was over in anticipation of Christmas. And I know Warren Jones always notices that right after Halloween, we notice that it looks like people bought all the inflatables from Walmart concerning Christmas and put them up in their front yards. And back when I was a teenager, we had BB guns, and those, if they had been invented, would not have lasted long. I was reading the other day about a man named Ron Lake, and you can look this up a little bit later on because I Googled it up this afternoon. Back in 2009, Ron Lake got really ticked off about the commercialization of Christmas. So he created his own scene in his front yard. And you'll see it there when you pull it up. He has a picture of a man dressed like Jesus with a double-barrel shotgun standing over Santa Claus where he's just killed him. And Rudolph is dead laying across the hood of his pickup truck. Now, I want you to know that was challenged. And they questioned some of his amendment rights to be able to put that kind of display in his front yard. It was just a little bit bizarre. He said, however your family celebrates Christmas and whatever your history of your memories of Christmas, I want the celebration to value Jesus. I don't think we have to feature a shotgun and a dead Santa Claus in order to point people back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the truth behind Christmas is that Jesus requires a great deal more than believing in the spirit of Christmas. And the first Christmas represents real people who had their lives turned upside down. You think about Mary, you think about Joseph, the shepherds, the Magi. The first coming of Christ was actually a disturbing event. Jesus didn't come to add something extra to life. Instead, he came to deal with our spiritual inadequacies, where people rightly recognize that we are sinners. We're in debt, a debt that we cannot pay, and we're in the need of a Savior. So tonight, in just a devotional message, I wanted to talk to you about that first Christmas from Luke chapter 2 and look at some of the emotions that people experience that surrounded that Christ event. First of all, there was emotion of wonder. And look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were what? Terrified. The shepherds got the message of the birth of Christ from angels. Now, you've studied the shepherds before. You've heard people talk about them. They were saw the outcast of society. The other thing that I found out about them as I did some research through history, they were not trusted in a court of law because they were known to be habitual liars. So God chose to reveal the birth of his son to people who were not trusted, that were outcast. And it says here that they began to praise God. Look at verse 13 and 14. In Luke 2, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So the angels were made higher in the order than man, and they were accustomed to seeing great and wonderful things, but something happened so significant in the birth of Jesus. It says here is that the angels had to praise. I heard something interesting today. Some of you knew Reverend Ken Hinckley that went home to be with the Lord over the weekend. Billy and I went to the funeral this afternoon at the North Chapel of Henderson's. Place was absolutely packed. I never heard this before. There was a gentleman there who's from Floyd County who is a songwriter, and he knew Ken for a long time. By the way, Ken was still an active pastor, and he was 79 years old and just decided 2 weeks ago to announce his retirement for January. That's what you call being strapped in the saddle. My saddle's not strapped that tight to the horse. But anyway, this songwriter and singer got up and said, I need to say something before I sing this song. And that always scares me when singers want to do that. I wonder how long we're going to be there. It's worse than a Baptist preacher. And he said, I do not normally write Southern gospel songs. He said, years ago I was out doing yard work. And he said, this theme came into my mind. I'm going on a trip one day. He's talking about going to heaven for the believer. And he said, the words were coming out so fast, I dropped what I was doing in the yard, went into my studio, and he said the words just flowed onto the keys of my word processor of my computer. And he said, then on another day, he said, I wrote the music for the words. This guy's very talented. He's really a high tenor. But he said, I decided to make it a quartet number. And he said, I played all the instruments in my studio, mixed it. And then he said, I sang all four parts separately and mixed them together. But he said, the bass was so bad because my voice is so high. He said, I called my friend, Ken Hinckley, and asked him if he'd come to my studio and sing the bass part. So today they played the track, and this tenor sang his part, and you could hear Ken Hinckley singing bass. I'm going on a trip. One day, there on the track, he was praising God for what he anticipated and what he has already experienced. You think about Mary and Joseph, they wondered at these events. Their love was presented with a serious challenge from the start. There were questions, there were doubts, there were misgivings. Betrayal and confusion engulfed both of them. And what I love is Joseph swallowed his pride and he accepted the incredible account of what was about to happen. I know when we were children, we had black and white television. And I've shared with you, we had a knob. We didn't have a button. And I was turned. And the tubes had to warm up before the TV came on. But I remember on Christmas Eve, we loved to watch Channel 6 in Augusta because the weatherman would always track Santa. And he would always say, NORAD says, well, I had no idea what NORAD was. And they were tracking Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. And man, that would get you in the bed early. In fact, there was one time I thought I heard bells from a sleigh outside my bedroom. I mean, they were very authentic. Well, I wondered where that came from. Back in 1955, this is where it all started. Since 1955, children have been able to call the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD. But previously, that government agency was called the Continental Air Defense Command. It was CONAD is what it was. Now, here's how all that got started. On Christmas Eve, they are tracking Santa coming along. Personnel at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado do this every year. And now they get about 1,200 volunteers to handle about 100,000 calls on Christmas Eve. They receive more than 11,000 emails on Christmas Eve, and they get no less than 1 million likes on their Facebook. Here's how it started. There was a typo in a Sears and Roebuck ad in 1955 in a Colorado newspaper. And instead of, back in those days, they put the phone number of the local Sears. But they made a mistake and they put the phone number of CONAD. So when people called expecting to talk to Sears, they were actually getting this defense place for the United States government. And so this has been spanning all these decades that people can continue to go to that number and get in touch with this part of our national defense on Christmas Eve. one of the strangest questions they've ever been asked. It was in 2012. A little boy called from Missouri, and here's what he said. When will Santa deliver presents to heaven? Mother got on the phone, and she said, I know that's a strange question for you, but said his little sister went to heaven this year, and he wants to make sure she'll be taken care of with toys in heaven. He looked past the secular to the wonder of God becoming flesh. The second emotion that they experienced there is actually back in Matthew chapter 2, the emotion of love. Matthew 2, 9 through 12. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And look at this. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now notice they brought gifts, but this is where the gift-giving got its start. There's no season of the year when we feel warmer towards other people. Now, if you were in a crowd on Black Friday, you probably didn't feel any warmth except the bodies and the anger that surrounded you. You know, I think it's great if you want to go shopping on Black Friday. But there's nothing I won't need or I'm supposed to have that I need to go risk my life in that kind of crowd. Now, we feel a little kinder in our relationships and more expressive of our love than any other season of the year. I was reading the other day about a church that put on an annual Christmas play. And this particular year, the middle school children were chosen to put on the nativity and the Christmas play. Well, there was a problem. These two old boys, these middle school boys, were close friends. And both of them applied for the role of Joseph. And the reason why they applied for the role of Joseph is the best looking girl in the middle school class was playing Mary. And that's about as spiritual as we get sometime with a middle schooler. And so the youth minister said, I'm going to have to make a choice. And so he chose one of the boys to be Joseph, and he thought he'd throw a bone to the other boy and make him the innkeeper. Well, it actually made the little boy mad. But he said, I'll be the innkeeper. So they went through all the rehearsals. Joseph knocks on the door of the inn and said, do you have a room for the night? My wife is great with child. And every night at rehearsal, the other boy that got thrown the bone here, the innkeeper, he said, there's no room in the inn. So all this went fine till the night of the play. Joseph came to the inn, knocked on the door. The innkeeper opened the door. He said, do you have a room for the night? He says, my wife is great with child. And the other boy said, sure, I got one room left, and it's on the house. Well, Joseph didn't know what to say. That wasn't what they rehearsed. And there was still a jealousy between the two. So Joseph stepped in and looked around and said, this place stinks. I wouldn't take this place, even if it's free. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn. So that's how it came out. And you know, we all have dysfunctional families. And it begins with us personally. I can't tell you how many people have talked to me about that. Even strangers that I've met in the store or a cashier. If you have a happy Thanksgiving, well, I had to go be with my family. This morning I had to have my semi-annual physical, and girl, again, she's taking your blood pressure, your temperature, and asking you questions at the same time. And when you're my age, that's going to make your blood pressure go up. And she said, did you have a good Thanksgiving? I said, yeah, about all our people have died off. And she said, man, she shouldn't believe what I had to put up with at Thanksgiving. Now, this is just walking in for your physical, and people are still complaining. But we do see a little more love at Christmas time. 38% of Americans will give to a charitable cause during the Christmas season. Carl Menninger, psychologist, said, love is the medicine for the sickness of the world. I can say this to this congregation because you know who I'm talking about. George Beverly Shea. Know who I'm talking about. He used to sing, I can hear this over and over again, the Billy Graham Crusades on TV. There's a wonder of sunset at even, the wonder of sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. And we need to pass on that kind of love to other people. Then there's the emotion of sadness and depression. I think about Mary and Joseph, and they were not without problems. From the time Mary found out her mission and Joseph got the news, people in public certainly began to talk. Mary's expecting. It's just the betrothal time in their relationship. And I'm sure they were rejected by some people. A bishop told the story of a mother and her daughter. Both were very poor and had ragged clothes, and they were walking down the main street of the little town at Christmas, and they walked by this one store that always spared no expense in putting their best merchandise and decorating for Christmas. And I want you to know, the little girl, she's out there freezing with her mother, and she tugged at her mother's arm and she said, Mary had no troubles like we do, did she, Mom? Mary had lots of troubles. And so do we. And just because it's Christmas doesn't mean that we be slacking off with our troubles. But if you enter Christmas empty, you can leave Christmas empty. But the gifts are open, the tree, the decorations removed, the joyful sounds fade. But we see that Christmas puts the emphasis on togetherness and not separation. I was reading some statistics from this year about loneliness. One out of every two Americans today can now be classified as lonely. One out of two. That sense of feeling alone or left out has become a global epidemic that can shorten a person's lifespan by 15 years. Former U.S. Surgeon General stated this. He said, during my years that I was caring for patients, the most common disease I saw was not heart disease or diabetes, it was loneliness. Listen to this, 1 in 6 baby boomers in America lives alone. 1 out of every 2 people does not know the name of their neighbors. Listen to this, Generation G, that's the 18 through 22, and the millennials, they are 23 through 37, have the highest rate of loneliness. Christmas is a time when the pain of grief is high for family members who've lost a loved one to death. So while you're getting together with a family, your family, you might want to look around your own neighborhood or in your own town and find somebody with whom you need to share some of your time, maybe some of your material possessions, because we're surrounded by lonely people. And then write this down, the emotion of joy in Luke 2:21-25. Simeon and Anna were excited to see the Messiah. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, take me home. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Look at verse 36 and through 38. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The theme that we ought to have throughout Christmas is that of joy. One time a friend decorated a small Christmas tree and gave it to his first grade child to take to his class. You remember there was a time in the first, second grade where we were in Augusta, they wanted you to bring a decoration from home. They wanted to bring you to bring a Christmas card or a special ornament. So we used to do that. Well, this first grader brought a Christmas tree decorated with Easter eggs. And you know, all the kids laughed and made fun. And finally, this little first grader, here's what he said. It's all right to use Easter eggs on a Christmas tree. Baby in the manger is not all. There's Easter to come. I love that. I'm not much on written prayers. Sometimes I think written prayers don't go any further than the paper that you're breathing your bad breath upon at the time. But I read one the other day. It talks about Christmas. To the poor he proclaimed the good news of salvation. To prisoners freedom. To the sorrowful joy. To fulfill God's purpose he gave himself up to death. And rising from the grave destroyed death. And made the whole creation new. That we might live no longer for ourselves. But for him who died and rose for us. He sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring fulfillment, the sanctification of all. So Christ, as we know, is the greatest gift of all, God's best gift. He's willing to give thanks. And we ought to be willing to give thanks for what he did. You ever think about what people, what's going on in their minds at Christmas? I went home one night last week and Delaney said, I've been so busy. She said, I'm taking you out to dinner. I was just in shock. Now, I can pretty much hold my emotions back and not let you know what I'm thinking when you say something shocking, but I was breathless. And she says, I'm going to pay. And so we went out and we had a real nice dinner. And we got through. I said, you know, there's a shop right over here. You ought to go and just look around. She said, well, you've already bought my anniversary, my birthday, and my Christmas presents. All that happens in December. That's my year-end closeout. And I said, we won't hurt. Everything's on sale over there. So we walked in this store and everything's so beautiful. And you know, she says, now make sure, let me know if you see something that you like. And I'm looking for a chair. Blessed is the storekeeper who always has a chair for the guys. And I'm over there checking the weather and stuff. And you know me, I'm probably going to strike up a conversation with somebody. So I saw a lady there with a sales clerk and I said, how are you tonight? She said, fine, fine. So I overheard her talking to the other sales clerk, and she said this was her second job. And so I said, wow. I said, ma'am, you work two jobs. Oh, yes. That's all I had to say. She said, you just won't believe it. She said, I walked in this store one day, and there was a friend of mine. She said, I live in another town. Way away from here, but said, I work for the state and I come to Rome every day. And when I walked in this store, I needed to get a second job. And there's one of my friends from that other town in manager's training, and they hired me. I said, well, that's great. You got you a nice second job. Says, oh, well, my son's going to go to Georgia Tech. He's being accepted to Georgia, applying to Georgia Tech. And so I'm saying, okay, that's good. That's good he's going to college. And so she looked at me and she said, you know, if he goes to Georgia Tech, it's going to cost me a lot more money, even though he has scholarships. I said, yeah. And so she said, you know, I'm divorced and remarried. And I'm like, do I have something on my face that says, I want to know your life story? Do I really look that way? And so I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, my first husband was a great guy, and he's still a good man. And we had three children together. But we turned out to be friends more than we were husband and wife. I didn't even go there. I'm still standing here like this with my coat on, hoping Delaine will hurry. And she said, he paid his alimony and he's still paying child support. But she said, I did remarry and said I was a homemaker. I had to go back and finish my education. That's how I got a state job. I said, that's great. I admire you, a mom going back. She said, but my new husband's ex is horrible. And I said, well, okay. She said, you're just not going to believe it. Well, you know, I've enjoyed the Christmas decorations in here briefly, and I'm hoping Delaine, you know, check out, we'll try on at home. You know, I'm not saying this, but I'm sitting here, you know, listening. I said, really? She said, yes. She said, my new husband took, he and his wife took 5 years to agree on a divorce settlement. Said, finally, he just signed off on something he didn't agree with. I said, okay. She said, now he's been paying $2,200 a month child support. And the alimony is a lot more than that. And it's a 10-year contract. But there's a caveat. She said, she cannot shack up with anybody, and nobody can shack up with her, or the alimony's gone. Or if she gets married, the alimony's gone. So we did an investigation. Said there's a man about 10 or 15 years younger than her that's shacking up with her at her house. He's living with her. So my husband and I went to file suit against her for breach of contract and get out all this alimony. And ladies and gentlemen, I've had just about all I can take. And so I said, well, she said, you won't believe what happened. We went to court. And she said, we presented the breach of contract before the judge and said, you never believe what an ex-wife did. I said, no, ma'am. Said she presented the notarized adoption papers where she has adopted the man she's shacking up with as her son. I'm seldom speechless. And then she said, we said that's incest. And the judge said, I'm not going there. And then the ex-wife said, I'm suing for $15,000 in legal fees because I had to come here today. He said, you paying your own legal fees. Case dismissed. She said, my husband's still paying alimony to his ex-wife. You know, I'm sitting here getting in the spirit of Christmas and I'm thinking about Jesus. Do you have any idea what people are living with out here? I hope that we shall always see God's gift upon our Christmas tree. You cannot touch them with your hand, yet they are there at your command. There's joy and faith and hope renewed. There's laughter for a happy mood. There's gratitude for each new day, a time to think, a time to pray. The Christ has come with holy light to shine and make your pathway bright. All these are yours if you can see God's gifts upon your Christmas tree. What kind of emotions are you experiencing this Christmas? What kind of emotions are the people around you experiencing? You know, my doc was talking to me today, and we love him. We've had him the whole time we've been here. He looked at me and said, you know, I've got some doctor friends who've never been sick, and they've never been in pain. He said they won't prescribe any pain medicine to their patients who are really in pain. He said, and the way they're ever going to understand it is if they have a sickness, we're in pain. Ladies and gentlemen, we all have the sickness. It's called sin. There's people all around us that need the Savior. And there are Christian people around us who are down right now who needs us to express the emotions, the wonder, and the praise of what this season's all about to them. Let's pray together.